Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a dead horse 1d6 damage at a time. On today's episode, we're talking about a genre favorite for both John and I. That's right, it's supers, the heroes, the men and women in tights and bucket boots, fighting crime and keeping lots of little things in lots of little pouches. The book is 2005's With Great Power. And you know what? Insert your own Spider-Man joke there, because I may not have much. Not since fever took paw and the bank done foreclosed on the grain mill, but goddammit, I have my dignity. It's System Mastery. And welcome back. I'm your host, Jeff, joined as always by my host, John.
Yeah.
Wait, no, we're in my house. Fuck that. No, I'm your host.
Be my host. Oh, my God, look, it's a ghost.
Make me some cinnamon toast.
Now get me a book on ghosts and a marshmallow on a silver plate. I would love that the most.
I'm loving this song.
Yeah. It's a great song about the two of us.
And the things you like, or at least you liked as a child.
And the things that I definitely like in the narrative we have crafted about my childhood.
It kind of bums me out that your childhood is a narrative on the show, where mine is straight up just truth. I actually was a feral child who didn't know his own name. I was basically Logan for my youth.
Yeah, no. Like, we created a bit for me, and yours is just like the sad documentary that someone shows you.
Raw, painful footage, the kind of thing that a brony would have to insert Twilight Sparkle into to understand.
So sad.
So, John, as is my custom, how the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm all full of dessert for my free birthday dessert at the Chillis.
Happy birthday. You did the right thing leaving me out of it because you knew I had no monies at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be just sitting there looking sad. I'd be like, no, you guys have a fun soda.
Oh, it's okay. Oh. You have a fun soda? Where did you think we were going?
I'm pretty sure you went to Raisin Cane's. Is that correct?
Nah.
It's not? Where'd you go then?
We went to it was just Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had my various, like, slightly up from KFC chicken restaurants confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was Thursday, so it's 75-cent boneless wing Thursday. So you can get like 12 boneless wings for what you would normally get the price of like four of. So
that is a pretty good deal.
It's fucking great.
That's great if you're a big fan of boneless wing.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of boneless wangs.
I could have had one boneless wing and maybe half of a fun soda. You know I'm getting older and older, like at a much faster pace.
You know, like today when you referred to it as the sex.
When was the last time you had the sex?
You boys having the sex?
23 skidoo, I say to that.
Oh, man. I can't wait until you get actually old.
Oh, don't worry. I won't.
Oh, don't worry.
I'll just die.
I'll stay this way forever.
Well, I mean, sort of, in the sense that I will begin to molder and my body will rot.
As happens to us all.
Yeah. I'm gonna fight myself to stay alive for an additional 18 years past this point and no further. Yeah, so Sage is off on her own.
Here, I have presented you the world, and now I must take my leave.
Discard my shell as you would a cocoon, you butterfly.
Toss me into the ocean like so much plastic garbage.
That's all I ask of my funeral. Please throw me in the ocean so I can go out the way that Killmonger went out in Black Panther. Thank you.
Please tie several car batteries to me and throw me into the ocean.
Yes, I would like to destroy the ocean a little when I go in.
Yep.
Please, make my casket out of
six-pack
rings.
Just as I made the world worse, I would like to make the ocean worse.
Thank you so much. Pack me full of six-pack rings. Thank you. The book is called With Great Power, an obvious reference, of course, to the famous motto of The Spider-Man comics.
The Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man, who occasionally has the sex with the Mary Jane.
Yeah, and that occasionally kills her.
It does. And then the devil has to come along and undo it or whatever. I don't keep up with modern Spider-Man.
Hell yeah. Spider-Cum. Spider-Cum. Radioactive Spider-Cum.
I thought you were saying Spider-Cop. Both of us have been playing a lot of a Spider-Man video game.
Spider-Man video game.
Some undetermined Spider-Man game.
Who knows what Spider-Man video game we could be talking about?
Oh, it could be any of them. The old Activision and Treyarch ones from the PlayStation and PlayStation 2 eras, respectively.
Hey, man, I had the Ultimate Spider-Man, and that was a pretty good one.
Spider-Man and Venom versus Carnage for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah. The Ultimate Carnage video game.
Yeah, the one that had the soundtrack as written by Green Jelly on it.
Oh, hell yeah. The one that had the cartridge was red.
Yeah, it did indeed have a red cartridge because all the foes were just recolors of Carnage because it sucked.
It was just a bad time for everybody.
Spider-Man and the X-Men in Arcade's Revenge, perhaps the worst video game with Spider-Man in it.
Oh, most definitely, I would say.
Yeah, that game is atrocious
indeed.
Yeah. So anyway, With Great Power is a 2005 game, so this is a little modern for our usual review sensibilities.
It's a little modern, and boy howdy
does it show.
It's okay, I want to get this out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've mentioned this before, but we get accused a lot of hating crunchy games because we rip into that shit a lot.
No, I don't like my games crunchy. I like my pig crunchy.
I don't like my games crunchy. I'm too old for that. I need it soft. Yeah. I want a smoothie of games, if you will.
I like my pigs crunchy and nothing else. Thank you.
The
also radiant.
Yeah, I like my pigs to be some.
That yeah, that's some pig. Yeah.
But, you know, even when we say like, oh, maybe you might want to try Fate for something or one of the less crunchy systems,
mm-hmm.
this game really wanted to lean into that whole like Fate level of aspects and whatnot.
Yeah, there's no crunch in here. This is a smooth peanut butter of a game.
Oh my god, it is.
It's a lazy river.
It is just intolerable for me reading this. It's amazing how angry I got at this game for a game that has so little game in it.
Well, okay, we might as well start by talking about, you know, the theory of where this thing came from and how it came into existence.
Oh,
this
I don't even need to have a theory on it. The back of the book has an acknowledgments and where it came from.
Oh, it does? Okay. I didn't look back there. But basically, here's the thing. This book came out in 2005. The wonderful game Fate came out in 2003.
Yeah.
This is a fate breaker, is what this is.
I mean, he has an acknowledgments and like where he got the ideas from in the last couple pages, and does not mention Fate at all.
Which is probably for legal reasons.
I was like, that's gotta be bullshit. I mean, he mentions Over the Edge. He mentions
Burning Wheel is mentioned back here.
Yeah, he's got a lot of games that he's like, oh yeah, this is some more modern sensibilities.
Oh, Ralph Mazza's Universalis.
Yeah, so there's a lot of games back there that like, okay, you've heard of that. It's fairly popular in a bit recent because they would have been recent from like 2005.
Oh, here's a fun toss off to celebrate John Wick's Orc World.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's a lot of Orc World business in there,
mm-hmm.
for the acknowledgments. But he's like, oh, I got the idea of aspects from definitely not Fate. You're like, okay, sure you did.
Uh huh. Because this is very Fatey. This has a real stink of Fate on it.
Like, you write down what your aspect is, and your aspect takes damage, and boy howdy, this is Fate. But sure, say that you got it from Over the Edge. That's fine.
So, okay, the first thing that really separates this game from other games like it is that it doesn't use fudge dice or regular dice in any capacity. Instead, it is a card game. You use decks of playing
cards.
Yeah,
it's a CCG.
It's a CCG. We forgot to mention that it's a CCG.
And not an RPG at all. We're just reviewing With Great Power, the old CCG.
We made that same Car Wars mistake that we made the one time. Sorry, everybody. Too late to change it.
Oops-a-daisies. Fuck it, we're doing it anyway.
So you can't say tap in this game because Wizards of the Coast has that license.
They got that on lock.
So instead you have to engage your cards by turning them 45 degrees to the left. No. So you use decks of regular old playing cards with the jokers removed.
No, with the Joker's in.
I'm sorry, with the Joker's in, but that card.
With the rules removed.
With the rules removed. Yeah, you take that card that tells you how to play card games out.
Yeah.
The one that tells you the value of poker hands. That's the take that out of there.
Yeah, that card's out of there. The one that's just like an advertisement for some reason. Take that out of there.
Now, notably, you have to use a lot of decks of cards to play this game. Like, if you're playing with just two players, like, you need four decks of cards.
I mean, it's like the heroes have a deck.
Each hero has a deck.
The GM has a deck. And
has
then,
a deck for each player or something like that.
It's no, a, it's heroes basically have to like share a deck unless you get multiple people.
Yeah,
and then the GM has a deck, and then the GM has an auxiliary deck.
So if you have one or two players, there are three decks in play, plus one villain deck and one auxiliary deck.
Yeah,
and if you have four players, then there are four decks in play plus one villain deck and two auxiliary decks.
It's just nuts.
So you need a lot of decks of cards, and it also advises you that each deck of cards should have a distinctive back and pattern to it, because you aren't supposed to mix them together, really. And they will end up mixed together, because they'll change hands a lot, so it should be easy to move them back to their regular decks by the end of the game.
Yes.
So you need a lot of decks of cards to play this.
Yeah. Man, that's much more of an ask than, say, having like, oh, you needed, you know, 10 six-sided dice. I'm like, yeah, I can get that for like a couple bucks. Asking me to go get like 12 decks of cards is a little much.
Well, it never really gets above like six decks of cards, but still, it is kind of a big ask to be like, all right, you have to go get six different back decks of cards. You're like, okay, well, I can go to 7-Eleven. Ah, shit, all they have is bicycle.
Yeah, I can get two.
So I'll have to go to Trader Joe's and get
I'll have to go to Trader Joe's.
And get their unique branded deck of cards. Obviously, I can stop by
Vaughn's, and I'll get Vaughn's brand.
I'm going to need to stop
cards.
By the local porn store and pick up one of those decks where there's topless ladies on every card.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting that titty deck.
I need that Dutch deck. Yes, please.
Yeah, it's a deck where it's just different pictures of Dutch from Predator.
It's different pictures of Dutch from the movie Dutch.
It's different pictures of characters named Dutch. Every suit is a different Dutch.
Also, there's an entire suit, Diamonds, which is just given over to pictures of Dutch people. None of them are famous, and you can't prove it.
Just windmills and tulips and shit.
Upside down turtles, the official symbol of Dutch people.
Of Dutchland.
I was about to say Deutschland, and I was like, oh yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's a thing. That's a different thing.
It's Germany.
I'll need a different deck of cards for that. I also have, I have a couple unique decks of cards because Kevin Simbita mailed them to me.
Yeah.
So I have a few Palladium decks. I guess that's a thing.
Yeah. I don't think I have any decks of cards anymore. I used to have at least one, and that's gone now.
I think I might have four regular decks of playing cards because I'm pretty sure I have those two Simbita mailed out Palladium decks. And then I have one of those wheels for playing poker with, you know, that's got the chips around.
Yeah, I love that wheel.
Yeah, the poker wheel, which I never use because whoever plays poker really?
Oh, yeah.
At home anymore.
Nobody.
It used to be fun to play poker at home back when everyone played like five card draw. Now it's all fucking Texas Hold'em all day, every day. And
well, now
like,
it's everyone shows up and they're like, ooh, I'm a professional gambler man now because I watched the World Series of Poker once.
Yeah, I'm going to strap a bunch of crap to my head so you can't read my emotions. We're playing for fucking matchsticks. Mm-hmm. Who wants to raise these stakes a little?
my dude. Please do not.
All right. So the book starts with the first thing you need to pick to play the game, which is which duality aspect will represent the game at the entire table. They have a couple of options that they recommend for you, but you don't have to use them. This kind of sets the tone for what the story of the game is going to be about. The options that they recommend are responsibility versus freedom, ideals versus practicality, personal need versus responsibility, and so on and et cetera.
Yeah.
This is an immediate problem because you need to select this for the entire table, and it's just one pick for everybody, both the villain and all the heroes.
Yeah, it's one of the things where you look at it and you go, okay, the idea of trying to balance a duality is a fun idea for a superhero. I mean, basically every superhero has at least something they kind of struggle with.
Yeah.
But it's different for different ones. I mean, if you do the, all right, we're doing justice versus vengeance as our theme for this entire like game that we're doing for this set. Like, okay, but that's fine for the dude who's playing Batman. Like, obviously he's going to have a lot of conflicted ideas about justice versus vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm playing Superman, and I don't have vengeance. I just have justice, and this isn't a thing I give a fuck about.
You can't play as Superman's. It's the No Superman's Club. You must be at least this Batman to enter.
Yeah.
It's just him and Moon Knight in there.
But then you start playing, you're like, oh, what is this one? Oh, we're playing the man versus the mask, but I'm playing as Batman, and the man is Bruce Wayne, and I do not give a fuck about him. He is just a tool in my belt.
Yeah, that's just the No Batman's Club. You have to be at least this Spider-Man to enter.
It's a real shame, because if that was a personalized thing instead of having to be this is the theme for the entire adventure,
mm-hmm.
It would be a little more difficult as far as the way the game plays for setting up the structure of it.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, meh, who cares? Like, well, giving two more little duality things per character, whatever.
If I wanted to convey a narrative through the course of this review, it would basically be that you can only use this book to play one game over and over again. That this book is basically 200 pages of instructions on how to force four people to play solitaire with you.
It's real weird.
And this is the first blow in that.
Yeah, it's, guys, you need to conform around one thing. Please do not have any characters that wouldn't go along with whatever dumb thing we're doing.
Yeah. Now, the last one is also something I would love to play a game of, which is Tolerance versus Prejudice.
Yeah, man, that's playing like the X-Men or something.
I guess that, yeah, I could see that. Although, usually, it's not about their choice to be tolerant or prejudicial. It's about how the world treats them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you also have the, do I, like, do the Magneto thing where now I hate humans? Or...
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, but he's just a villain for them. There's very few X-Men who are like, wait, am I super on board with Magneto's plan? I fucking hate humans. I can see it as like Tolerance versus Prejudice being how you play Mark Millar's Batman.
No, I mean, there's...
Or Frank Miller's Batman. Which Miller am I thinking of? I think it's Frank Miller who's the one who lost his goddamn shit, right?
Yeah, well, if you're talking about the whores writer, then yeah, that's Frank Miller.
Yeah. We'll kill you if you write even one word about how women are whores.
No, man. All he writes is about whores.
Whores. Yeah. Now, this leads right into one of my favorite other things that I really like to talk about in this book, which is the examples of play that are scattered throughout here. First of all, they use the same four recurring characters for everyone of these little play act dramas.
Yeah, I mean, the examples of play are... one adventure. It's not like, oh, and here's a different session where they were doing a thing. It's literally going through one session the entire book.
Yeah. Now, I only wanted... I'm not going to bother John to distraction today. I'm going to try and be a good co-host and help out, which means I'm not going to read every single one of these verbatim while he shakes his head at me.
Yeah.
But I am going to read the first one, at least a little of it, because I feel like I really want to convey what it's like to read this book. Just the first one, even though there's like 40 more. So here we go. Grace... we first have to decide on what our hero's struggle is going to be. What thematic issue are they grappling with? Nate. But first of all, let's set this aside. Nate fucking sucks.
Okay, every single example that has Nate in it, you're like, why did you let this guy at your table? He is a dickbag.
Yeah, Nate. Theme? I thought we were going to be playing a superhero game, not going to English class. Grace, it's not English class. It's just that for a story to be interesting, the characters need to have problems to overcome, so we need to decide what kind of problems they have. Deanna, do you mean like having family problems? Or love problems? Nate, or drug problems? It says he snickers at him and then he gets glared at.
Yeah, he throws the Snickers at them.
He throws Snickers at everyone. Ah. Boy, I thought we all hated Nate.
Size! Ah.
It's the worst Snickers! It just goes on like this for forever. Listen to this. This is how it ends. Steven, I can work with ideals versus practicality. I think I've already got an idea. Nate, show off. Grace, ideals versus practicality is a great struggle. Are you sure you're okay with that, Nate? Nate, sure. When do I get to pick my ideal powers that get practically everything done?
Fuck you, Nate.
This is not written in a very human-y fashion. This kind of feels like it was performed, like all the entire story of their adventure sounds like it was performed by like some group that's just built to educate teens about the dangers of smoking.
Oh, yeah. I was like 100%. This is an improv troupe that came to your elementary school and was like, hey, kids, let's learn about fire safety.
Hi, Bay Pike Park High. We're the Informanauts.
You might think it's cool to smoke, but what if smoking went something like this?
Go Bay Park Rangers! I'm going to celebrate their win by smoking a marijuana-style cigarette.
Yeah, it's a regular cigarette, but it's marijuana styled.
After that, I'm going to have the sex like my hero, Jeff. So everything is read like that. Like, it's a bunch of people who walked out on a stage to a peppy dance music number and then immediately and defiantly turned all the chairs on the stage around.
Guys, let's rap.
Let's rap for a second. Smoking drugs just isn't cool. That's a way to be a fool.
Yeah. God damn. Yeah, the examples in this, even if the examples work to like, oh, okay, this explained a thing, I still just hate everyone involved.
Oh, no, you just don't like them. Even though Nate's clearly the worst of them, the rest of them are just as bad, really.
Well, Nate is just there to be the puppet for like, all right, let's have one person who's always just antagonistic to everything happening in this book.
Yes, yeah. He just doesn't seem to like this game very much and would probably be better suited playing something else.
Oh, yeah.
But they never... That'd be amazing if they ended it that way. Like, in the middle of one of the things, which is like, Nate, let's have a quick conversation. I feel like you don't want to be here. You'd probably be better off playing Pathfinder or something. I'm not saying that in a mean way to Pathfinder. I'm just saying it feels like you're looking for a crunchier, more traditional RPG experience.
So, you know... Leave.
Nuh-uh. Pulls pigtail, runs away.
Yeah. So the idea of getting your theme for the adventure, I mean, technically happens first for the adventure, though you'll probably have a hero before you go into it if this is an established game.
Well, the next thing you need to do is start your aspects. Now, this is the first time we're introduced to a kind of mantra that this book goes through over and over again, which is... called scripting, penciling, inking.
Yeah, and it's basically just a, all right, come up with an idea for a thing, then the penciling is
sharing it with the group,
bandy it about,
yeah,
and then inking is actually doing it.
Yes, and it's basically like the three-step process to how to roleplay. It's in this scene, I'd like to punch force majeure in the face. Okay, well, let's start by scripting. The script is that in this scene, you would like to engage physically with force majeure. And what's your end goal in this situation? Because scripting should include both the beginning of the scene and the end of the scene. I stand triumphantly over him with my fist smoking. Smoking a marijuana-style cigarette.
That's my power.
I'm fist unhealth. My fists both smoke badly.
I'm MJ Fist.
Fist eczema is the disease I suffer from.
Fist eczema. That's what I like to do at every party in the 90s. Fist eczema.
Why do I keep drinking these? They're gross.
Oh, man, no way. Zimas are delicious. I mean, if you're like a 16-year-old and me. Or, you know, now and me.
Yeah, I can go in as far as the wine coolers with you, but Zima, I do not care for the flavor.
Oh, man,
of.
Give me that Zima. Give me a nice Smirnoff Ice.
I can do a Smirnoff Ice as long as it's got a funky secondary flavor applied
to
it.
Man, I'm fine
traditional,
with just icing.
No, not me, man. That's not my place. That's not my jam. I started on harder alcohol. My first time ever drinking was just doing shots of Jack mixed with shots of peach schnapps.
Ew.
And I mean alternating, specifically. I was just two-fisting them.
Ew.
Just like how you would two-fist Zimas back in your college
days. Back, yes, that's right. In my college days, how I would wander the campus with Zimas.
Yeah, I used to play Edward Zima Hands, where you had to tape a Zima to both your hands, and you couldn't get them cut loose until you drank both of them.
Yeah, it was real easy.
They're small.
They're just little bottles.
How come no one ever serves up a nice 40 of Zima?
Come on, where's my 40 of Zima?
Pour little Zima out for your homies who you don't like.
America, where's my 40 of Zima?
I'm going to pour a little of this 40 of Zima out for my weak, shitty homies.
For the homies I didn't particularly care for.
All right, I'm sorry. So that's penciling. All that shit we just said, that's penciling. And then inking is, well, guys, my idea is that I'd like to punch force majeure and then my fist smokes a doobie. And then they go, oh, I think that's cool, but also what if another thing happened? Also, what if your character learned the dangers of smoking marijuana?
Nah.
And then also during the... I believe that the penciling phase is also when you do the card exchange for like whether or not this is going to work, and then inking is the final scene and actually how
no,
it looks.
No, inking is you actually do the
Is that it? And then you still do the card exchange
you
after
do the
that.
Cards with
so
inking.
So we're talking like a 5-step process to do anything in this game.
Yeah,
you
well,
have to.
I mean, generally they give you the process, but it's still just going to be the same way you do anything, which is, hey, I want to do this, and then if anyone objects, they do that, but then you just go on with the game.
Yeah, although they've codified it, so it looks like a 5-step process.
Yeah.
Which is think of a thing, share the thing, make the thing official, roll cards to see if the thing...
Yeah, roll them.
Roll them cards. Roll them cards and then have the sex.
I went down to Vegas and I rolled the cards and had the sex. Now I'm one of Satan's friends.
I don't feel like I believe you.
You should believe that I'm one of Satan's friends. We're good pals.
I have this t-shirt. It's got like a leather motorcycle cut that just says Satan's friends on it.
Satan's buddies, and it's just got a little chibi Satan on the back.
He's just holding a beer in one hand and like doing a thumbs up with the other.
Hey!
Oh, man, that means now that we need to start a Friends of Palpatine motorcycle club.
That is true.
That we need leather cuts with Palpatine. Just like, Zima!
Hell yeah.
I haven't made it 40s because I'm the Emperor.
Fuck yeah. I'm on the Empire's side now.
Fuck it.
You got me. You got me good, Sheev. I'm a stormtrooper now.
That's all it took. Okay. So that's the building characters, you also need to do this penciling, inking. Sorry, I've got this backwards. Scripting, penciling, inking thing. Because what you're going to need to do is pick out some aspects and build your character around those aspects.
Now, there's, oddly enough, a difference between what your aspects are and what the aspects in the game are.
Mm-hmm.
You have what's called a scratch pad,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of your character sheet that has anything you could care about.
Yes.
So, you know, all of your character's relationships and motivations, their superpowers, whatever it is, all of it goes onto a sheet, but in a given game, you might only use like 3 of them.
Yes. Now, when you're building your character, you don't need to build all 6 of the possible aspects that you're engaging, because you should have 6 of them when you go into a game. Somewhere between 3 and 6, I think, is what they want you to have. But you don't need to take every single one of them that's on your scratch pad. You just need to have those. And there are certain ones that you need to know about when you create your character in the first place. You start with assets, which is things like powers and relationships and so on.
Well, yeah, you've got assets, which is like actual things. So you might be like, oh, I've got Iron Man armor. And this game very much
does not care what your powers are.
No, the powers are basically just a window dressing for how you describe a thing. Because if I have just Cyclops's power and I'm like, what can you do? I can shoot eye beams. Okay, great. You have eye beams and that's an aspect. Yeah. However, if I'm Superman, it's like, what do you have? I have flight, invulnerability, eye beams, cold breath. I've got super hearing, super sight, telescopic vision, x-ray vision, all that.
Amnesia kisses. Don't forget about amnesia. I can throw a cellophane S at people.
Yeah.
Makes them fall down briefly.
All of that could be under one aspect, which is just Last Son of Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
That's your entire aspect. And anything you would do with that is just, that's my powers.
But it just works the same as any other power aspect. It really doesn't matter. A lot of what that makes the book feel like is whenever you hear those people who make TV shows about superheroes describing how the powers aren't important. You know, they're like, yeah, we're not really all that focused on Flash's running ability. This season is dedicated to his relationship with his dad.
And you're like, but that's the point of the character is he's got to go fast.
He has to go real fast, you see.
he runs real fast.
Yeah, he makes sonic booms. Sonic booms, sonic booms.
Yeah,
and he saves the planet from disaster.
Yeah, he's running around at the speed of sound.
He's got one way to go. He's got to follow his rainbow. I know the lyrics to far too many Sonic the Hedgehog songs. 2 is far too many.
Yeah.
I mean, I know 3, but the other one's a Knuckles song, so.
Why am I sexually attracted to this bat?
Here I am in a canyon looking for gems. This is very unusual. I better rap about how I'm in a canyon looking for gems and my weird, confused feelings towards Rouge the Bat.
So, yeah, assets are mostly just stuff that you got. So whether it's powers or items or...
Yeah, I forget what the other one is.
It could be...
Origin. Origin and identity are also asset abilities.
So you could have things like Last Son of Krypton, and then another asset might be like Clark Kent, reporter. Yes.
Or fueled by a yellow sun or something, if you wanted to have your power origin be separate from... They mentioned that you should only have one power asset or aspect for however many powers you have, unless, specifically, your powers come from more than one source, each of which might be important to the story later.
Yeah, because all of your aspects can be sort of imperiled and damaged.
Mm-hmm.
If I have, like, all of my powers coming from a yellow sun, then I don't want to have different aspects for each power, because the origin, if someone's like, oh, I do a thing and I hit you with a red sun generator,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, well, at that point, it's just damaging my power source rather than I have to pick which individual power gets hit.
I mean, you can justify it pretty easily using Wolverine. If you do the storyline where Magneto rips out Wolverine's adamantium skeleton, he still has all of his powers, he just doesn't have his adamantium skeleton. He still has the scent and the regeneration and everything.
Yeah, that would be an example of, in a game, someone devastating his origin,
mm-hmm.
and it'd be like, okay, well, we devastated the Weapon X origin, so now you don't have adamantium anymore.
But you still have
your
Logan,
healing and your claws.
Which is your power. Your actual power is healing claws and power scent and whatever other nonsense they've added to him over the years. The ability to radiate waves of rage that scare off ghost chickens.
Yeah, that's very specific.
It is. It's from one episode, one of the New Mutants things, I think.
Okay.
Or I forget which one of a bunch of mutant kids it was. Which is the one that had like husk and skin and
what was that? Generation X?
Yeah, that's the one. It's from that.
Okay.
Lobo comes to visit for Lobo. Yeah, Lobo,
yeah, Lobo
comes to visit.
Comes to visit.
Lobo comes to visit, by the way, has got to be what the Lobo movie is called. And we need that deep voice guy from Everybody Loves Raymond to be Lobo, just because I really want to hear his voice. Oh, wait, because he was that voice on Justice League Unlimited.
Well, there you go.
That's why I want that. That's why I subliminally wanted that so bad.
It is. It's true.
Brad Garrett.
It got up in your meats.
It got up in my brain meats. I'm the main man. Just want that. I'd come to visit.
Lobo, who's coming to dinner.
Sadly, Peter Boyle is dead, so we can't just make Lobo into a Ray Romano storyline. But my dreams live on somehow.
Aw, Lobo. Aw.
Lobo, can you kill my wife? No one likes Deb. Bastich.
Bastich.
Jatotten monkey bird. Hang on. That's Dark Water. I'm sorry.
Whoops.
I got my fantasy curse variations mixed up.
So yeah, you're gonna pick your asset stuff, and that can be a bunch of different things if you want it to be. So like
motivations.
Tony Stark might have like his armor and Avengers Tower and Jarvis and a bunch of other things.
Yeah, and Spider-Man might have bit by a radioactive spider as one power origin and the other one being super scientific geniuses and others. So
yeah.
Unless you want to have him do the organic web shooters.
Which,
and then you can also give him a relationship of Aunt May.
Yeah, you can do your relationships with like MJ, Aunt May, all that.
And your motivation comes great responsibility because your uncle was killed or whatever.
Oh yeah, you got motivations for being responsible,
mm-hmm.
and trying to help the little guy.
And then his duality aspect he would prefer is the man versus the mask, because all of his stories are about him failing in his personal life because he has to be Spider-Man or vice versa.
Yep.
And there you go. That's how you'd build a Spider-Man.
Well, this game really wants you to build a Spider-Man.
It's called With Great Power. I mean,
I know, but unfortunately, it's like, oh, you can play a Supers game. No, you can't. You can play a Spider-Man game.
Yeah, you can play. You can build a Spider-Man comic book with this game, provided you know someone who can draw.
And then there's one other thing. It's assets, motivations, and
relationships. Yeah, which we mentioned earlier is a thing you can do with Aunt May.
Yeah.
Now, after you build your aspects and choose them and write them all down, you're not going to give them a level yet, because each one has damage levels that go from 1 to 6, where 1 is primed, as in this is part of the story now, and 6 is devastated, which is this aspect of yours is so beaten up in some way that you can't access it anymore, and now that the DM has it.
Yes. But
you also need to do the scale of the aspects.
Yeah, and the scale doesn't affect anything outside of the way you think about it. So it goes from personal, so like, okay, I have a relationship with Aunt May. That's a personal level. Aunt May doesn't really have any clout. Nothing's going to happen if Aunt May, like tries to do something like, oh, Aunt May had a bake sale. That's a very personal level thing. Nothing's really going to happen with that.
Yeah. Now it goes from personal to cosmic, where cosmic is, you know, like I'm Doctor or I'm Adam Strange, and I have a relationship with the entity known as Eternity.
Yeah.
The thing is, the descriptions that they use when we visit in with the Bay Park Informanauts are stupid. They're not very good at describing what these aspects are. They're like, what's the level of your power, Debris? I think it's cosmopolitan because I use it to protect the city. It's like, okay, but could you use it for more? I don't know how to think about that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're at the municipal level.
That's right, municipal.
You could probably destroy a city block if you wanted to.
I like the idea that it's municipal because you could potentially destroy municipal things.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have municipal level powers because I could take out a recycling bin or like a public pool.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, what's this? This is my motivation, and it's at a national level because I want to
be the very best, no one ever was.
But only in this nation. The very best in America.
Well, that's because he wants to unite all peoples of this nation.
Yeah.
Pokemon. Yeah, so you got to do the scales, which is only so you get some personal information or feel for your powers or what levels they're at. Honestly, I feel like it's a very skippable step.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit for the GM to be like, okay, do you have a relationship? Like, if you say, oh, I got a relationship with a politician and I haven't really fleshed it out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go, the difference between a municipal politician and a national politician of being like, oh, you know, a local mayoral candidate,
mm-hmm.
or you know, like, the president.
Although, if you actually have to divide it up by a municipal versus, like, national level, you have to ask yourself if certain people work one way or the other. Like, say, for example, a lot of people know that one, that Joe Arpaio guy, that dipshit sheriff of Arizona who's just, you know, a real piece of trash.
Oh, yeah.
Just the worst. People all over the country know about him, but he's a municipal-level fucking dude.
Yeah.
He never had all that much relevant power, and he's going to die a shitty old man. I'm sorry, where did that come from?
Jeez, Jeff.
I'm sorry. And when he dies, I'm just going to turn all that hate onto that joke, that Clark dude. What's it? Clark?
Yeah, Jeremy Clarkson.
Clarkson from Top Gear. Fuck him. I don't know if I've come out about this before, but fuck that guy forever. Am I right? I've never watched a single episode of that show.
Well, I think he's the known asshole of that show, so it's fine.
Known public asshole.
Yeah, he's the one who like punched his producer.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of that other sheriff that's like a rabid weirdo from another state.
Ah, yes.
Something Clark.
Nottingham. Sheriff of Nottingham.
Sheriff of Nottingham. Thank you. Of course. Specifically the version of him from Prince of Thieves.
Yeah. I really want that version.
The version where he was the only person in the movie who knew what kind of movie this was. Yeah. Or I'd also take the Sheriff of Nottingham from the Disney's Robin Hood movie where he's just a fat old fox with a southern accent for no goddamn reason.
I love it.
Criminally, Nutley. Point that pea shooter the other way. Like, he's just waiting for the Duke boys to stop
by.
Oh,
yeah. That's basically all he is.
Yeah.
He's Boss Hog as the Sheriff of Nottingham.
He's a fat weasel or something. Yeah. All right. Sorry about that. Back on track. Here we go. There's a question here of why do other players get to pencil so much of my hero? And it's, you know, because this is supposed to be a cooperative game. So when you make your characters, you have to sit around in a drum circle and hold hands.
Yeah. I've seen a bunch of this before in other games where it's like, oh, you know, what's a cool relationship that this character could have with you? Or why do you know whoever? And it's a good way to tie things in together, though honestly, that doesn't happen in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of it being like, oh, you all need to have, like, relationships that kind of intertwine, like, okay, it's your Aunt May, but Aunt May runs, like, the local food shelter that you volunteer at, so you both know each other.
Gee, like it's some kind of Spider-Man video game.
It's like some kind of Spider-Man.
Some kind of surprisingly very good Spider-Man game that's still getting bad press because Spider-Man's like too nice to the police in it or something.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't, you know, the problem, people are like, man, he keeps fucking up drug dealers. Leave fucking drug dealers alone. I'm like, no, these aren't regular drug dealers.
This isn't like one dude on the corner trying to sell some weed. This is like a gang of masked white guys with machine guns.
Yeah, they all have machine guns and they're on a roof for some reason.
Yeah.
Regular good drug deals don't go down on roofs.
Yeah, no. This isn't a guy who's like, I'm just trying to get by selling some drugs.
Check this pager. It's not that, you know? It's 10 guys being like, yeah, after we deal these drugs, we're going to go kill the mayor.
I just made the super drug that when you take it, it blows your head up.
Yep, that's what I did. Also, I works directly for the evil supervillain Tombstone.
Yeah. It is definitely not one of those situations where you're like, aw, Spider-Man's so mean to a guy just trying to make a buck.
Yeah. It's very different. Okay, so sorry about that. But anyway, the last thing you do when you're building your character is what's called swapping back issues.
Yeah, which is what I always look for when I go watch porn. I'm like, can you show me swapping back issues?
Gross.
Don't judge. Don't kink shame in this show.
I mean, it just sounds like two girls, one cup shit.
Yeah, two girls, one cup shit.
Yeah, that's pretty much another description of the movie Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah.
Starring Jeremy Irons and Matthew Broderick. I finally found scenery I won't open my mouth for.
Yeah, it's the swapping back issues thing is...
It's just telling stuff about your hero before this.
Yeah, it's so you have... some sort of background.
It's basically this book taking the whole this is the process of making a comic a little too literally.
The thing is, you read this and it, like I said, it isn't really so much a role-playing game as it is instructions on how to think about writing a comic.
It very much, like, this would be better if it was instructions on how to write a comic book than if it was a role-playing game. This is like, hey, do you have three friends and the three of you want to, or four of you want to write a comic book and you don't know how? Here you go.
Yeah, because it's very much like, okay, here's instructions on, like, how do you make a relationship with someone? How do you think about someone's powers? All right, now if one of these things were to get endangered, how would that character react to that? And it's very much like, here's how you build tension. Here's how you make a plot. But it doesn't really do anything for the game, because the game is the exact same every time of just, what is it? You're going to go through, you have these aspects, they're going to get fucked up until you get to the end of the game, and then you'll probably win. Because the game starts with the GM having way more power than the players.
Yes, but that balance shifts automatically as you move your way through the scenes. Here's the thing about this. When we're saying that it's a great set of rules for how to write a comic book, it's a great set of rules for how to write the same comic book over and over again. Like the same number of page counts, the same amount of panels on every page, which is 7, by the way. It's like how to write a Brian Michael Bendis comic.
Why are you being so mean to Bendis?
He has some very specific page layout structures he really seems to enjoy. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying that his dialogue is extremely repetitive, although it actually very much is.
Are you trying to say his dialogue is repetitive?
Whose dialogue?
Bendis.
Who's Bendis?
He's a writer. He has dialogue.
Yeah, but what's his full name?
Brian Michael Bendis?
Oh, that Bendis. Why didn't you say so? And scene. Let's do that again.
Bendis? Who's Bendis? Bendis my balls.
Hi there, I'm Bendis my balls.
Bendis like Beckham.
Hey, John, who's your favorite dwarf from The Hobbit? Because mine's Bofur.
Who's Bofur?
Bofur D's nuts. We've been doing that for like a week.
Yeah, straight up, the these nuts jokes have not stopped.
Okay, so why don't we get into the two types of scene that actually take place in the book? The first one is what's called an enrichment scene. In an enrichment scene, each player takes a turn choosing one of their aspects that they would like to enrich, which means bringing it into the story. They describe the situation by which that aspect would be enriched, such as setting a cast of characters in a location and what they would like to see happen over the course of it. With the DM's approval, they then nominate players who are not going to be in the scene to play various NPCs in the scene.
Yeah, like if I'm Spider-Man and I'm like, all right, for this session, I really want to bring like MJ in as a thing that is part of my storyline.
Mm-hmm.
First, I have to do an enrichment scene that involves Mary Jane, and I will pick someone at the table to play her.
Yes. Now, so you can pick me for this. So this enrichment scene is you would like to meet Mary Jane at a pizza parlor and discuss your future life plans with her. So
all right. Now, I'd like to meet Mary Jane. Can I get a suggestion from the audience for where we meet?
Obviously, a pizza parlor.
Probably. I heard a theater with Abraham Lincoln in it.
Okay, fine. But I'm also going to need someone to play Abraham Lincoln in the theater. I'm going to go with T-Pain. But you basically nominate other people to play the NPCs unless their character's present, which is a dual enrichment scene, which requires its own whole discussion. But then you play out the enrichment scene with one goal at the end. Like, I would like the following thing to occur. The example they use is there's a superhero in the book, in the adventure that's being run through the book called Debris. And Debris is a woman made of rocks. She used to be a cop, and now she's made of rocks. And that's her story.
Yep.
And her enrichment scene is that she lives with her mom out in the suburbs of a big city somewhere.
Well, she has a brother that is a cop,
mm-hmm.
and the brother resents her not being a cop anymore. So the whole scene is, I'd like my brother to be, you know, one of my aspects that are used in the story.
Yes.
And the brother is just like, ooh, you need to take better care of mom. She should move in with me. And so the whole stakes are, I want my brother to drop this.
Mm-hmm. Or my brother's going to take my mom away.
Well, the stakes for the brother is, mom moves in with me.
Yes. And then you actually have to go into how the card resolution mechanic works. Now, players have a number of cards in their hand that they draw at the beginning of every, I think it's game, because your cards are progressive and stay with you through the course of the game, and they get more powerful as you sit on them. The DM has a huge number of cards at the start of the game. It's like as many as every player has.
Basically, during a scene, it'll be like, all right, a player draws like 5 cards.
Yeah.
The GM draws 7 plus 4 per player in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So you might go like, oh, okay, Debris has 5 cards for this enrichment scene.
Yeah.
The GM has like 11.
Yes. Now, this is how this works. All you have to do is set the stakes. After you have the little little discussion with your NPCs or your fellow PCs playing NPCs, you stop and you say what the stakes of the argument that's just happened or what the enrichment scene stakes are. The stakes in this case are, I want my brother to drop the subject versus I want to take mom to the city with me.
Yeah.
Now, you, as the player, choose a card from your hand and put it face down on the table, and so does the DM. Then you flip and reveal the cards. If your card is higher than the DM's, you win the scene. If the DM's card is higher than yours, they win the scene. But wait, there's more! You see, the DM has 2s and 3s wild, so that's super fun. I think it's also there can be as many as 4s wild?
For the players,
yes. So the DM starts at the very beginning of the game, 2s and 3s are wild, which means it's almost impossible to beat the DM, who has way the shit more cards than you.
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton more cards, and they have 2s and 3s wild. Now, if you lose, your consolation prize is you get the 2 cards.
Yes.
But especially as the DM, if you're like, okay, I win with a 3, that's a wild.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you get to keep the cards. Thing is, it's just a 3 for you. It's not wild for you, so grats.
It will
get
be
a
someday.
Shitty card.
It will be someday, however.
It might be.
It might become, because the way that the wilds switch is they stop being... you can turn wilds off for the DM and turn them on for the players whenever an aspect is fully devastated and taken away from a player. So, for example, if your aspect was your mom that you had a relationship with and she lived in your house, and you kept losing arguments like this to where she got taken away from you, now she lives in the city, oh, now her Alzheimer's is flaring up, and now she's dead, well, you don't get that aspect anymore.
Well, I mean, dead is not a thing that will happen. Devastated just means you're not in control of it anymore.
I know. I'm just giving examples of levels that could occur that would move that thing up the track towards devastated. But when it's devastated, all it is you don't have access to this aspect anymore. The DM does. But when the DM gets it, he can draw extra cards into his hand for having it. You, on the other hand, now get 2s wild. And then 3s wild for the next aspect that's devastated, all the way up to 4s are wild.
Yeah, the...
And that's by you, I mean all the players.
No, for you.
Oh, is it really that? I thought it was a collaborative thing.
No, it's per player.
Ugh.
Because the GM only loses access to their power as you move along scenes. There are 5
mm-hmm.
Acts, basically, to any given comic book.
Yeah, this book actually has a thing at the back called A Page of Conflict that is the exact comic thing that the comic, the way that a specific conflict always plays out. Sorry, go ahead.
So,
yeah. There's the story arc one.
Yeah, so the way it works is you have the enrichment scenes, like we said, and that's mostly just to bring your aspects into play. You can voluntarily fuck up one of your aspects in order to get more cards.
Yes, you can.
So if you're looking at your hand and you're like, all right, I've got a shit hand and I really want to win, I can take something from like primed to risked and get a card or 2.
Yes. You can also reverse that play.
Well, every level you go down, you get more cards.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go from like risked to imperiled, then I can get three cards. And if I go imperiled to...
whatever's right before devastated.
Yeah, whatever is right before devastated, you get four and so on. But then if you discard that many cards, you can also bring the level up.
It sure is fun to try and remember all the synonyms in a game where all of the levels are just named after synonyms, isn't it?
Yep. It's wonderful because there's also a level past devastated, which is the DM's levels where he's trying to take it to destroyed slash transformed.
Right.
So once the DM gets a hold of one of your aspects, they are trying to then lower it every scene and take it from something that's like, oh, this is a good thing for you, to being devastated slash transformed. And you get it back at the end, but it'll be something else. So it might be, you know, if they killed your the mom that was going into the city, then it might be, okay, it went
vengeful
from...
vengeful memories of mom.
Yeah, it might have gone from a asset that was your mother to a motivation of, like, remembering my mom's good deeds or some shit.
Yeah, now I've got an arch enemy, my whiny, shitty cop brother who I nominated Nate to play for some fucking reason. Don't pick Nate!
But that is going to happen during the other type of scene, which is an actual conflict.
Yes, there's a few more rules for how actual card exchanges happen in a real conflict, where there's actually, like, fight stakes happening.
Yeah, so, again, the GM's going to get a shitload of cards,
mm-hmm.
and... conflicts work really different than enrichment, because enrichment is basically like a one-card thing. If you tie for the number, then you have to raise the stakes and then play another card.
Which is tricky, because it feels like it could be difficult to... It basically suggests that you should not set your stakes especially high, because you need to leave room to raise them somehow. Like, I'm not sure what the I'm going to take mom away from you and move to the city... The next level is going to be like, also, she can't talk to you.
Well, yeah, that was... The example they gave is... All right, he raises the stakes to, I'm going to get a restraining order on you.
Yeah, and then what happens if they tie again? I'm going to have you killed.
I will have you arrested.
Bitch, I'll have you flayed.
So, it's a little weird that you have to... And I mean, they tell you this, like, don't say, my stakes are I win and I'm the president and everyone calls me and says that I'm muscly. Like, have a realistic single goal.
Yeah, yeah. You need to have your reward for succeeding at one of these enrichment goals is that your aspect moves from blank to primed, the first
regardless
level.
Regardless of if you win or lose, it always goes to primed.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not the stakes happen in your favor.
That's right, yeah. Primed is now the aspect matters for the purposes of the game. Otherwise, it's just sitting there until it's primed.
Yeah, which means, for the most part, players are probably going to spend their enrichment scenes just throwing away their lowest cards, because it doesn't matter if you win or lose.
Yeah, you're just throwing trash, so it's always going to be that bad shit happens. Like, this is such a Spider-Man comic generator. It's just, oh, bad shit happens to Spider-Man. Oh no, he got fired from his pizza job. Oh no, Scorpion's in town. Let's fight Scorpion. The end.
Yeah, it's a lot of, let's introduce all these aspects,
mm-hmm.
something is going wrong with them because you're obviously going to fail at the beginning.
Yeah.
And because the only source of extra power as a player you have is to fuck up your own aspects,
mm-hmm.
it means that if you want to do anything in this game, you have to use those motivations or relationships or whatever as fodder,
mm-hmm.
which ends up becoming this thing where in a normal game, if I was like, oh, I'm playing a game and we're going through the narrative and, you know, my mom has some problems and, oh no, a villain came and now she's in the hospital and stuff like that, that might, as a player, make me motivated to do things. But as the player in this, you're the one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one who's saying, like, oh, man, I could really use three more cards. I guess I'm going to shove mom under a bus.
Yeah, you have to describe situations where you would love for your mom to get injured or damaged in some way. A lot of it's just feeling bad about things that already happened. Like, almost all of the art in this book, and there's only maybe four pieces of art in the book, are just heroes flying around thinking things. They're like, oh, what did I say to Jimmy? He'll never forgive me.
Yeah, but that's all just shit that you've already done in a previous scene where you fucked up one of your assets. And it's an annoying thing to me because it means all of those bits that would be really good role-playing fodder is mostly just, like, metagame powering.
Yes, you're just grabbing cards. so that you can matter when the game ends.
Yeah.
And you're still kind of hoping that you don't just pull a bunch of crappy cards. You basically, and here's the other thing, the DM knows you're going to be doing that too. Everyone sitting at the table has read this book, so they know how it fucking works, and they're going to be like, all right, the stakes are, I'm going to eat this pizza versus you're not going to let me eat this pizza. I put a 4 down, and the DM's like, I put a 5 down because fuck it, I don't care if you eat a pizza, and your ability's going to get primed anyway. Have 2 trash cards, dickhead.
Yeah. It's so bad. But the weird thing for me is that it ends up being this odd give and take to that, and you sort of want things to be devastated, but then, like, oh, that's how I get power, except now you're just giving more cards to the DM as well when you mm-hmm. devastate a thing.
It's
fucking weird.
Well, the problem is that everything always seems to play out the same way. Like, whenever you're going to play this game, you can look forward to 5 rounds of everybody taking turns, going and having a little mini adventure where they talk to a mean dickhead because they picked one of their friends to be an NPC. And then it all breaks down into a couple of fights, and the fights are boring, and they always happen the exact same way. Who's got a high card? I play the high card. I win.
Well, yeah, well, combat works different than...
Yeah, if face values start to matter as well.
So the whole thing is, man, it's got a weird thing. So you have a card that you put down, and whatever suit it is,
mm-hmm.
you then describe how it is that you're using an ability and what it affects. Mm-hmm. So there's a list of, like, this is striking, or this is using a power, or this is using a weapon, or this is grappling, or whatever it is. And then you have to say, this is either affecting a person or a place,
mm-hmm.
or like
a thing,
a
concept, animal, vegetable, mineral.
So you can't change the suit unless you change what the type is. So if I punch a bad guy, and the person who then has to respond is like, okay, well, I don't have a higher spade. So you have to spend 2 cards of a different suit in order to change it to that suit. But if they're like, oh, I just want to punch you too, you can't, because that's the same shit that I just did. Mm-hmm. And you have to change suits. You have to do something else.
Oh, for Christ. It's also, by the way, in enrichment scenes, if you'd like to hustle through them and have people do 2 enrichment scenes at the same time, like, oh, our 2 characters are fucking Fenris. We're brother and sister. We're going to do an enrichment scene at the same time where we talk to our parents. Oh, okay, you can do that. But it makes the difficulties all higher by 2.
Well, that's if you enrich 2 of your own things.
Oh, is it? Okay,
so, like, the thing in there was, I want to take, like, my love interest and my powers and enrich them both in the same scene.
You would never, ever want to do it, is the thing. Because a difficulty raise of 2 matters a lot in this game. It means that every card below 6 is useless.
Yeah. And it also, I mean, the other thing is, you may as well say, oh, my enrichment scene is all of my assets, and I just get my
That's
loss
true.
Of stakes out immediately.
That's true. You could just do that. You'd be like, yeah, I'd like to enrich all of them. I'm going to talk to my girlfriend about how I'm from Krypton while doing a feat of super strength in front of the police commissioner.
And here we go.
And I play it too. What do you know? I lose no matter what. Great.
Hey, whatever.
Hey, everything's primed. Goodbye. What are the stakes? If I win, I win a penny. And if I lose, I have to leave a penny.
Well, the problem is you don't get to pick the lose stakes.
Oh, that's true. Which means the other player can be like, if you lose, you have to do a shitty dance. Oh, fine. I guess I'll do a shitty dance.
Everyone hates your shitty dance.
Yeah. By the way, John, animal, vegetable, mineral that I just said a second ago brought up a side story that I want to tell you.
Good, because it's not like we've had enough digressions in this already.
No, it's fun. People love digressions. I'm not reading all the shit in the book.
Great.
Yeah. I was playing 20 Questions or a variation on it with someone at a game night the other night,
uh-huh.
and he did not understand the animal, vegetable, mineral part of the equation. Like, he was fighting with it for about 10 minutes, because he was like, no, vegetable just describes, like, tomatoes and shit. It should be animal, vegetation, mineral.
Wow.
Yeah, see? Worth it.
Wow to be... Wow. That is some next level pedantry there.
Like, I kept telling everyone at the table was like, yeah, but that's the way it is in every 20 Questions game ever. It's animal, vegetable, mineral has been kicking around since 20 Questions was invented as a concept. And he's like, yeah, but it's stupid. It was because the thing I had to get people to guess was picnic basket. And when he said it, or when someone at the table said, is it vegetable? And I said, sometimes. He was like, oh, it's never made of fucking tomatoes and squash and stuff. It's made out of reeds. That's not a vegetable. I was like, no, it isn't made of vegetable. I guess vegetal would be better. What do you want? You know what it means. It means plant.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm so sorry for the digression.
Thank you.
What else do we need to get into here?
So, again, the way combat works is you have to do through one suit until you change it. When you change the suit, like I said, you have to put two cards down, but the high card is the lower of the two you play.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to change to diamonds and I play a four and a ten, then now it's a four of diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to beat that in the suit or, again, change suit. If you ever come back to the same suit, you have to be able to beat whatever the high card currently is in it.
Right.
So if we had gotten up to the eight of clubs or whatever, changed, and then I wanted to come back to clubs, I would have to have essentially two cards higher in clubs in order to beat that, to switch it back, and also beat the high card.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep in the middle of that. You see, this game is combining the pulse-pounding action of comic books with the dynamic action adventure of Improv Night mixed with bridge.
It feels like it would go very speedy because you're essentially going to look at your hand, go, all right, can I beat that? Yes. Okay, I do.
Mm-hmm.
No, I play two cards of a different suit. We do this back and forth until someone goes, I don't have two cards, or I don't have a higher card. You win the scene.
Yeah. Oh.
If the GM wins the scene, then the players get to move along the story track.
Mm-hmm.
So the GM gets whatever their stakes were for the scene, but you take one of your cards, you put it on the little thing that says, like, Act 1. And when you beat Act 1, then the GM doesn't get Threes Wild anymore.
Yeah.
So you get to take a little bit of power away. I think by Act 3 or 4, you end up taking Black Twos aren't wild anymore.
Yeah. You can
so
never
it's just Red Twos.
You can never completely strip the GM of wild cards, but he always has Red Twos.
Yeah, so Red Twos, and then everyone has Jokers.
Yes.
But you, at least as it goes on, like, you have to just lose at the beginning. In fact, you have to lose fucking five times,
mm-hmm.
no matter what, in order to finish this game, because you have to fill in all five sections there before you can end.
Yeah.
Because a devastated, like, the GM is trying to take a power from each person, one aspect,
mm-hmm.
devastate it, and transform it. That's their plan. So you can't actually transform a devastated aspect until you go to, like, the fifth act.
Now, to be fair, though, the fourth act you can play over and over and over again if you need to.
Oh, boy. Good.
That one's called The Balance Shifts.
Yeah, so you can keep trying to get more stuff.
Yeah, because every time you win, the balance shifts. You take a whole deck of cards away from the DM.
Yeah, because it can be like, all right, what do you have? Well, I've got, like, my deck and an auxiliary deck and, like, three other auxiliaries, and you'd be like, all right, we're going to play balance shift so we can take away your auxiliary decks.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then you can't beat the villain's plan, because the plan is another aspect that the villain has.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you fuck their plan up, you can't defeat the plan until Act 5. So you're just sitting there going back and forth, describing how this narrative goes until eventually someone wins.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk real briefly about the couple of things that are in the back of the book in this book for reproduction and use later.
Oh, yeah. Like penises and vaginas for reproduction.
Yeah, there's penises and vaginas in the back of the book. And gonopores and every other...
Madripores.
Genosias. Everything else. Boys have a madripore. Girls have a genosia.
Yeah, baby. Touch my madripore.
Oh, the things I want to talk about, there's the story arc, which is basically the way that every story in this game looks the same, because you have to follow this rise and fall arc system. There's the page of conflict that describes what each panel of a fight looks like. Like, in this panel, I'm standing over my foe because I punched him to the ground. In this panel, he hurls me into a nearby fire escape. And it has to happen the same way, and you have to fill every block as you make your way through it.
Yeah.
And then there's one that I thought was particularly worthy of talking about, which is the thought bubble.
Oh, yeah. The thought bubble is a concept introduced very early in the book.
Mm-hmm. And used constantly throughout.
And it is...
It's the conch for Lord of the Flies.
Well, no, because it's not, I have the right to talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's just basically holding up a thing that says, like, out of character, or I don't say this out loud.
Oh, okay. See, I thought it was, okay, use the thought bubble when you're doing this. Seemed to be a regular admonishment throughout the book.
Yeah, but it's always, the thought bubble is... So my character gets to go, oh no, it's Pearl, and she's in danger. But instead of saying it out loud, it's just what I think.
Carol Ferris, what have I done to you? Robin, oh no. I'll show you how many boners the Joker can make.
Two boners.
Two boners.
Me and you, Batman. Two boners.
That's as many as 1/20th of 40 cakes.
Yes, one boner equals
1/40th of
1/40th of a cake.
Equals 1/40th of 40 cakes.
1/40. Okay, so my boner equals an entire cake?
That is correct,
man,
yes.
Man, that is a thick boner.
Yeah, the Joker made it. The Joker don't fuck around with boners.
The Joker gave me a cheesecake boner. Next on Maury Povich.
Oh, I love that we're talking about the Joker's boners, and even though Batman's dick is the thing that's currently in the news.
Oh, yeah. In the news.
Like, literally, in the moment, in the news, in the now, is Batman's fucking penis.
I've got my finger on the pulse of Batman's penis.
Look pretty nice. I don't know if you've gone and looked at the picture of Batman's penis.
I have not. From what I heard, you can't really see much. It's shadowed.
It's surprisingly well shadowed. Let's say that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
same.
I'm saying
my dick is surprisingly well shadowed as well.
Yeah, in that you never take your clothes off for any reason. John's a never nude. I don't know if anyone knew that.
Yeah.
Like, he showers in a full business suit, which, weirdly, he only owns for the purposes of showering.
Oh, yeah. It's what I change into. It's my shower suit.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what we're doing. Oh, we can probably go to our favorites and least favorites. I just thought the thought bubble was kind of a fun thing that you're supposed to take a photocopy of and hold up when you're thinking out of character thought or in your brain thoughts.
Well, it really wants to. Again, it's mostly just a how to write a comic book thing because they're like, okay, well, what does your character think about whatever? What are you saying as you do this, but not saying out loud? Like,
yeah.
Tell me the actual like panel structure and like if there's a little box at the bottom, they have rules for like editor's note.
They do, and also for splash pages and for opening narration that isn't connected to the overall story. I'm surprised there isn't a part in here for questions to the editor.
Oh, there is.
Oh, is okay. I'm sorry.
Literally, the end of the game is the letters section, and it's either fan letters or pundit letters.
Oh, okay.
And it's either you go around and everyone basically has to write a fan letter where they ask questions and say, boy, I sure loved in whatever issue when your debris did this, but boy, how are they going to get out of the pickle where Perjury discovered who the stalwart was?
Greetings, true believer. Who gives a shit? Thanks, your merry Marvel crew.
Yeah, so you have to just go around the table and do a bunch of fan letter shit. Or do you do the pundit ones where you're like, you know what didn't make sense for me in this story? What didn't flow was this. This doesn't seem like the kind of motivation this character would have.
Excelsior, fellow fan. You win a Marvel No Prize with a turd in it. I guess that kind of makes it a Marvel prize, depending on if you think a turd is a prize.
I do.
I'm off and away. I'm Stan Lee, and for me, every turd is a prize, because I'm 96.
That was sad. That made me a little sad.
My last poop.
I'm very sad now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I made you sad about Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Sean, what was your favorite thing about this game?
Fuck. God, I don't even know where to start with this. Probably the favorite thing in this is the idea of the multiple aspects with only a few being used. I actually like that specifically for like a comic book idea is very good.
Because, mm-hmm.
You know, not every Spider-Man story is going to have every single person he knows and every single like power and organization and whatnot. You have to pick and choose for the story. So you're like, okay, in this one, I'm going to have S.H.I.E.L.D. show up. And also the fact that I was bitten by a spider is going to be a thing. You're like, okay, cool.
I do also appreciate the fact that this game lets you write down the many and varied aspects that any given like legacy superhero has. Like the number of things that define Batman's origin story and arc and character traits and so on at this point is so long that you could easily use it to assemble six different groupings that have nothing in common with each other and yet all describe Batman perfectly fine.
And all you need to do is just pick some to put in and be like, all right, what's at play? in this story what actually matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we using the death of Jason Todd as a thing that matters in this story? No? Then it doesn't matter. It just stays on the scratch pad.
Now, to be fair, if it is a movie about Batman, the death of his parents automatically does have to be featured.
Right up front.
You're not allowed to not put that part in.
You gotta put it on screen. Don't just reference it. Put that motherfucker on screen.
If there isn't a slow motion of pearls falling, then you made your Batman movie incorrectly.
Okay, so that's my favorite. What is your favorite thing in the book?
I think my favorite thing in this book is, I kind of like the concept of enrichment scenes, the kind of an enforced way to get people to play things that aren't just another punch fest.
Oh, I agree with you. It's a good way to introduce stuff and also go like, hey, superhero games don't have to all be about fighting a supervillain.
Yeah. I mean, I like them conceptually. I'm not sure I like them in execution, at least not in the way that the example in the book displays them. But conceptually, I like the way of it. You know, game designers for a long time have struggled with how to work rulings into a non-combat scene in a way that actually affects the combat scenes that are going to come later in a way that players care about. And in this case, I feel like they tried to shoot through that needle with this concept that you get to kind of filter your hand by giving up some losses, and you also get to power up your aspects and increase your draw rate by going through and making sacrifices. And I thought that was appreciable. I think it's a good idea.
Uh-huh.
All right, so there you go. John, what would you say is your least favorite thing about With Great Power?
I mean, we've mentioned it before, the whole fact that you don't get to actually tell different stories, but my least favorite thing is what I mentioned before, the fact that you are the one that fucks up your own stuff in order to get more power, it turns everything into a gameable thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, well, I'm definitely not going to win this scene unless I do like some nonsense with throw, like I said, like my mother under the bus, or
yeah, literally throw your mama from the train. No, I got
Or okay, I have to. You know, I'm using my power aspect, so it has to get damaged in this scene in some way. So, like, I've got a cold, and now my spider powers are on the fritz.
Yeah, now I have a bravery aspect that I need to take damage to, so I have to tell the villain to stop, or my mom will shoot.
How is that a bravery aspect?
Don't stop me from just working in mom movies.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Bad Moms next.
Okay.
And then Mars Needs Moms.
Mars does need moms.
Mars needs moms, John. It's Mars true. Needs moms, Smash Mouth. Smash Mouth, send moms to Mars.
And by that, I do mean the god. Mars needs moms. Hera's not cutting it.
Wait, she's not Hera if he's Mars. She's not Venus. I forget who she is in that situation.
Because
she's the Roman version of whatever. Yeah, I don't know. This is an interesting conversation. Let's push forward, shall we?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We're going to stay on this.
We're going to stay on this until we
Hera,
figure
Hera
it out.
The Greek god name. What is the Roman god equivalent?
Also Hera.
Is it also Hera?
No, I don't know.
I don't think it is. I think it's something else, and I don't remember what it is, and people right now are real mad at us.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my very favorite tweets, which is the closest you can come to knowing what it is like to be a ghost is listening to a podcast host not know a piece of trivia that you know.
Yeah.
Or you're just like, no, but I know this, and you cannot interact with them.
And by the time you tell them, it's too late and no one cares.
No one cares.
No one's ever been like, oh, thanks for telling me. Because the moment I get off this podcast, I'm going to look that shit up. So if you start tweeting at me about it, any random person who constantly does that, know that I already know and I don't care about your tweet.
Yeah, when you tell me who it actually is, know that I will have already known this.
Yeah, I look shit up constantly. That's why I know so much trivia. It's weird when I don't know it and I don't need your help.
Anyway.
My least favorite thing.
Nah.
Oh, no. Keep going then. Keep talking.
So my least favorite thing is
not remembering what the Roman version of Hera is. Sorry.
It's the fact that it turns what would be a narrative function into a thing that you min-max.
Yeah.
Because then you don't care about it anymore in as much as you would care about it narratively. It becomes a thing where you're like, it's not a surprise. Something goes wrong, it's I decided a thing went wrong for power, and I'm trying to balance that out.
There's also, I don't know if this is just me thinking this right now off the top of my butt, but it also does kind of encourage players to create an aspect that they don't give a shit about so they can try to devastate it. Like, oh, I have this aspect that I'm fueled by surge energy drink. I don't care if this one loses, but I'm going to keep trying to bring it up so I can lose points to it.
Yeah, it's just, it's bad. It becomes a gameable thing, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff, your least favorite thing.
I'm going to say the whole scripting, inking, penciling thing, even though it's very, it really is just a long way to write out, describe what your character's going to do, and then discuss it with the group. It's so repetitive. It shows up like 5 times in this book, because every aspect of the game is powered by that nonsense.
Well, even in issue or parts of the book where it's like scripting, you probably already did this anyway, who cares? You're yeah. like, oh, we had to put all three in every single description even when it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. So the book has a lot of very samey elements that are consistently repeated throughout that I feel like was just a waste of time and reading effort. So I'm going to say that. The fact that, like I mentioned earlier, when I was talking about how this game kind of combines all the fun of superhero drama with all the exciting drama of sitting around and playing Poseidos or Bridge or something,
mm-hmm.
that I don't like that this game kind of loses a little bit of the oomph of the story narrative. And I think we're both going to want to say that this book lacks the major thing that any supers game really needs, which is big, fun lists of powers.
Yeah, that is fucking just one of the things that I love about superhero games is the big lists of powers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I fucking love crunchy supers games because I love dicking around with superpowers and also having weird, like, randomly rolled powers that I then have to decide, okay, how does this make sense thematically? What can I turn this into as a hero?
Yeah.
Whereas this, powers are about as important as your Aunt May. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the fact that you know a guy on the force is just as important as the fact that you're Superman.
Yeah, that's true.
And your powers are just, I don't know, what do you have? It doesn't matter. I could say I have the power to fucking shoot cheese whiz out of my nipples, and it is going to be literally exactly as impactful as the guy who picked, I can transform molecules into anything I want.
It doesn't help that of the three characters that get introductions and powers throughout the course of the book, they're pretty boring. Like, I'm a cop made of rocks. I'm a dude who punches good. I can see through lies, and I have justice beams. And then the third guy actually is kind of interesting. He has, like, night, the panoply of night, I think it's called.
It's the tapestry of night, and okay. It's just darkness power.
Yeah, but he can use it like Spider-Man. He can pull on the sky and use it to swing around.
Yeah, he can manipulate shadows to the point where he's like, I can swing on shadows, and I can hit people with shadows, and
yeah.
I just got darkness power.
He can take a moonbeam.
No, he can't. That's light.
Right. That's light. He can take the lack of a moonbeam.
He can take the shadow from a moonbeam.
Sprinkle
hit
it.
Hit you in the face. Punch you in the nuts and call you a little bitch.
Yeah, it doesn't rhyme with
because
face.
Because he's played by Nate.
No, Nate plays the stalwart.
No, he doesn't. That's Steven.
Oh, is it?
Nate
okay.
plays the fucking noir.
Oh, he plays noir? Okay.
Yeah.
I fucking hated Nate and noir and I and the Bay City mud flaps or whatever we were calling them. That's the team mascot for their high school football team. They are the Bay City Informanauts.
Yeah.
That's our little group of heroes. All right, well, there you go. Would you play this?
Oh, fuck. I feel like this would be something I could play once
mm-hmm.
as a way to get into character for a different game.
I feel like this might work pretty well as something you would play for like an AP podcast or something.
Yeah.
Where you don't need dice on the table and it's very, very free form.
The problem with an AP podcast of this is people, it's very much a game that shows you the gears.
Yeah.
And as you're playing, you're like, oh no, I know everything that's going to happen. It's got a 5-act structure. It's going to do this over and over again. And, you know, it just, for an AP, I feel like after you listen to 2 stories of this, you go, yeah, no, I got it.
No,
I understand.
You're absolutely right. You'd have to really stretch them out. But you'd play this like once, or as an exercise to get you ready to play a real game, huh?
Yeah, like if I was going to play Heroes Unlimited, and I had already rolled up my character and everything, I could then say, okay, let's take those, the characters you made, put them into With Great Power, play 1 session of it, just so you do have a point where you're like, all right, in addition to my powers, I've come up with people I know and things that are important, and say I have the aspect of never putting my phone down during a podcast.
Ah.
I would be like Jeff.
I'm doing something for the show.
Yeah, sure you are.
I absolutely am.
Look, I'm looking at your screen and it's just titties.
That's for
it's
the show.
It's justtitties.com.
We just talked about our plan to change the show format so that we have more Howard Stern elements in it.
Welcome to justtitties.com. How can I help you?
Folks, let us describe to you the titties that are in the room that we're in because you can't see them, but we can. We're Shock Jock Radio hosts.
Woo!
Heck yeah. I'm going to throw hot dogs at the titties.
Anyway, yes. So I would play this as a way to flesh out a character in a better game.
Fair enough. I mean, to the book's credit, I've looked. I was trying to find a PDF of this to send to you so that we could both read it at the same time.
Yeah.
And the only PDFs are of the next edition. And the next edition is like, hey, we threw out literally everything from that previous edition. It's a new decade, and a lot of that shit is very 2000s.
Hey, turns out, nah, that was a bad idea. Turns out everyone realized that all we were doing was telling the same story over and over.
I think the only thing they mentioned keeping from this edition is the thought bubble. To their book's credit, I think the authors kind of also knew that this needed some work.
Yeah.
Incidentally, for myself, I also would not really want to play this. Thing is, there's a plethora of, if not great, at least super fun hero games.
Yeah.
Like, Heroes Unlimited is part of Palladium, which means the rules don't work and it's not that much fun to really play. But it is so much fun to make characters in.
Oh, yeah.
And Marvel Superhero role-playing game is old and a dinosaur, and you cannot gain system mastery of it.
No, that Phase Rip shit is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane to try and memorize how to play that game. But the power books, so good.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you want an actual good modern superhero game, there's Masks.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of things you can play. And like I said, this book is just sort of the improv exercises you could do beforehand to get into character.
Yeah. Now, so I don't think I'd really want to play this, but it's not as offensive as some of the other games I've said no to.
Yeah.
Like, I would play this under duress, I guess. It wouldn't hurt. All right?
All right.
I'd play this like I'd visit the dentist. I know I have to.
Ah!
Final thoughts, John. It's a new segment. I'm just adding it right now. Surprise!
Yeah, this is my final thought. Remember to always be patient with your family.
John, I need about 2 minutes of final thought because I was doing something on my phone. Go.
Look, I'm going to keep looking up titties on justtitties.com. If you could give me about 2 minutes worth of time here, I'm going to be in the bathroom.
I'm uploading a new profile pic to our shared Twitter account. I am not looking up titties. And I would be honest with you if I was, because I'm unashamed about that. Titties,
I know.
Titties are great.
Everyone loves them. Everyone.
Everyone loves titties. Once again, thanks to Jess at AngryArtist113, I want to say on Twitter, I shouldn't be doing this on the fly, for our brand new profile pic.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you sent it while a podcast was happening so that Jeff would be distracted and stop interrupting me.
Oh, you want to go ahead and talk uninterrupted, John? Uninterrupted?
You want to be girl interrupted?
You want to do it? You want to run the podcast? You can be uninterrupted on your own goddamn show. I won't interrupt you on Movie Master. Okay, yes, I will.
Yeah, you will.
Constantly.
Forever. I could make my own show that you aren't on, and you would come bursting into the room like Kramer and be like, hey, let me tell you about a little something I heard about.
You do make a show I'm not on. I've never done that.
Well, I don't make the show you're not on. Someone else makes the show you're not on.
So you're saying if you were to make your very own podcast without me, I'd find a way to be on it.
If I were to make my very own personal cheese pizza podcast, then you wouldn't be on it, and then you would come busting in.
And then you wouldn't edit me out because you love my stupid asides and anecdotes.
Yeah, I wouldn't edit you out because I'm too lazy to do so.
that's why this show still works.
Anyway, my final thoughts are you should check us out on Twitter and Facebook and Gmail and Reddit and Bob's house. In Bill's house. That's where the money is.
I have not seen that film, but I do appreciate the reference.
Good.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we're System Mastery everywhere. Every single where.
Go anywhere you want as System Mastery, you'll find us. Google System Mastery. We come up fairly often in that situation.
We got our own Discord.
We do.
Fucking come talk to people and us.
I just retweeted the permanent link to it because it keeps falling off our Twitter because permanency is not permanent. Apparently. Apparently. Thank you, Entropy, for that. So come find us on our Discord and talk to us. Otherwise, support us on our Patreon. Come on. Patreon.com/System Mastery.
Hell yeah, we're about to make characters for this.
We got 3 good levels of bonus content and several more levels of even better bonus content, which is at the $1 level, you get the bonus content for this show right here. At the $2 level, you also get the stuff for Star Wars shows that we do. And at the $5 level, you unlock our special Afterthought, a monthly show where we do exactly what we're doing right now, but without a role-playing game to use as a crutch.
We've got no glue. We are just all over the place.
It's just off the rails. I am checking my phone a lot.
I'll tell you this right now. There's a lot of phone checking.
A lot. That's way more titties.
Guys, Please give us $5 so that you can listen to us check our phones. That's the premium level content that we bring to you.
To be fair, just listening to Movie Mastery is listening to us tell a report of a time where we checked our phones.
Let me tell you about this time. I was checking my phone.
Guys, I watched a talking cat, and I'm not going to lie to you. I was on my phone for all of it.
And by that, I mean I occasionally glanced up from my phone at a talking cat. That's not true. I never get my phone out. That's also not true.
I was going to say, you have your phone out pretty regularly. Usually just kind of one hand playing some Marvel fight game or something.
Ooh, Marvel fight game.
And after that, you have the sex. Patreon.com/System Mastery, SystemMasteryPodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Guys, we always assumed that he was a man with spider powers. But what if he was a spider with man powers?
He's eating those pigeons.
He's eating them. And what would be next? It could be us.
I don't know who thought of the decision to turn Jameson into a podcaster on that in that game, but
turning Jameson into fucking Alex Jones was the best thing they ever did.
That was a brilliant decision. Way better than what they did to poor Screwball.
Aw, Screwball.
All right, thank you so much for listening, and have a good week.